Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 47, The Song of the Bee, Text 11. And are there sheets there for the ladies? Kachin Madhukaram Drishva Dhyayanti Krishna Sangamam Priya Vastapitam Dutam Kalpayat Vedam Abravet Kachin Madhukaram Drishva Jayanti Krishna Sangamam Priya Prastapitam Dutam Kalpayit Vedam Abravit Kachin Madhukaram Drishva Jayanti Krishna Sangamam Priya Prastapitam Dutam Kalpayit Vedam Abravit Kachin Madhukaram Drishva Jayanti Krishna Sangamam Priya Prastapitam Dutam Kalpayat Vedam Abravit. One of the gopis, Madhukaram, a honeybee, Drishtva, seeing, Dhyayanti, while meditating, Krishna Sangamam, on her association with Krishna. Priya, by her beloved, Prastapitam, sent, Dutam, a messenger, Kalpayitva, imagining it, Idam, the following, Abravit, spoke. Translation. One of the gopis, while meditating on her previous association with Krishna, saw a honeybee before her and imagined it to be a messenger sent by her beloved. Thus, she spoke as follows. Report. Srimati Radharani is referred to in this verse as Kachit, a certain gopi. To establish that this particular gopi is in fact Srimati Radharani, Srila Jiva Goswami quotes the following verses from the Agni Purana. Gopya papachur ushasi krishnanu charam udavam hari lila viharams cha tatraikam radikam vina radha tad bhava samlina Vasanaya viramita Sakibi sabhyadach chuda Vigyana guna jrimbitam Ijyante vasinam veda Charam shah vibhavanai. Which means, at dawn, the gopis inquired from Krishna's servant Uddhava about the Lord's pastimes and recreation. Only Srimati Radharani, immersed in thought of Krishna, withdrew her interest in the talks. Then Radha, who is worshipped by the residents of her Vrindavan village, spoke up in the midst of her girlfriends. Her words were full of pure transcendental knowledge and expressed the ultimate portion of the Vedas. In the Bhagavad Gita 15.15, Lord Krishna states, Vedaischa sarve aham eva vedya. By all the Vedas, I am to be known. To know Krishna is to love Krishna. And thus Radharani, by her own example and words, revealed her supreme love for the Lord. Having quoted the above verses from the Agni Purana, Srila Jiva Goswami also quotes the following from the Nrisinga Tapani Upanishad, Purva Kanda, chapter 2, verse 4. Yam sarve deva namanti mumukshavo brahmavadinascha. All the demigods and all the transcendental philosophers who desire liberation bow down to the Supreme Lord. We should follow suit. Kachin madhu karam drishtva jayanti krishna sangamam priya prastapitam dutam kalpayat vedam abravit. One of the gopis, while meditating on her previous association with Krishna, saw a honeybee before her and imagined it to be a messenger sent by her beloved. Thus, she spoke as follows.
Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Sri Rasani Gaura Bhaktivinoda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Yeah, so this is a very outstanding part of Srimad Bhagavatam, in which Uddhava comes to Vrindavan, being sent as a messenger by Lord Krishna, but also Lord Krishna's idea was that he wanted Uddhava to learn and advance in Krishna consciousness, to learn about more advanced levels and appreciate them, and in this way become more advanced himself. This was the Lord's idea. So at one time a number of things were to be achieved in different ways amongst the same people. Krishna is very expert like this. This is described in Nectar of Devotion. Amongst the qualities of Krishna, there's a quality of being expert, and it is described that among the different aspects of his expertise, or of expertise in general, is that Krishna, well, it is described that a person, if they can do many things at the same time, they're expert. If we try to do many things at the same time, then, depending on how many things, but certainly it reaches a point where we may not be able to do anything, any of them nicely. There's a famous saying, Jack of all trades, master of none. This is a very well-known idea, and And sometimes you see that if someone is trying to do like that, that in the end they cannot do any of those things successfully and they become disappointed. But Krishna is able to do many things at the same time. And what to speak of informing the inhabitants of Vrindavan, particularly the gopis, and conveying his feelings in that way. What to speak of that, along with educating Uddhava, that Krishna is doing so many things, unlimited number of things at the same time, in different ways, by different means, even to the point of expanding himself into different forms and creating and maintaining the material world and everything that happens within it, and monitoring every single living entity in the material world, all of them simultaneously, and also in the spiritual world he's doing the same thing. And so his capacities are truly unlimited. But in that description, when it's discussed how Krishna is expert, then of course that point is there. But oftentimes things like the killing of Jarasandha is given as an example, that at the same time messengers arrived in Dwarka telling Krishna, first of all, one messenger said, Maharaj Yudhisthira is having a Rajasuya sacrifice. He wants you to attend. So Krishna wanted to attend. But then, immediately, another messenger came and said, Jarasandha has captured many princesses. And, well, many kings. And they want to be rescued. They're all your devotees. So you must rescue them. So what to do? Well, of course, Krishna knew that in his transcendental mood of pastime, he acted as if he didn't know. And he referred the matter to Uddhava, as if he didn't know. And he said, Uddhava, you know, I am stumped. I am confused. What shall I do? And Uddhava did some thinking. And Uddhava said, you know, if Maharaj Yudhisthira wants to do a Rajasuya sacrifice, then all the kings in the world have to agree, because Rajasuya means he's going to become emperor, and the other kings have to accept a subordinate position in front of him. So Uddhava said that if he's going to be able to do the Rajasuya sacrifice, then either Jarasandha has to accept subordination, which is extremely unlikely, or he's going to have to be killed. So, therefore, you should go and kill Jarasandha first, and then go for the Rajasuya. So Krishna, when he heard that, he said, ah, very good. Thank you. You clarify that. So they went there, and I think Bhima actually killed Jarasandha. And yes, there are many intricacies involved. So Krishna is very expert at achieving many things at the same time, very appropriately. And in this case, he also did that with Uddhava. So here, the Bhagavatam says that kachim, according to Sandhi, last letter changes. So kachim, which is the transformed form of kachit, which means a particular one, certain one. It's a term of specificness. A certain gopi when Uddhava came and Uddhava was going to recite the message from Krishna and talk about Krishna, then as he was about to do that, then a certain gopi, one of them, particular one, suddenly became diverted, her interest, her attention, became diverted to a bee, madhu karam. Madhu means honey or sweetness, and kara or karta means to do. So madhukari, madhukaram means someone who's always getting honey, getting sweetness. So this bee, madhukaram, he was buzzing around. Actually the sannyasis are also known, but they do. Madhukari means they go from house to house to collect donations or particularly eatables. Yeah. Whatever people give, they just knock on the door and give some transcendental knowledge. And then they're given some roti, some rice, some sabji, and so on. And even in India now, the practice is still there to some degree. We have gone into certain villages. We went into Chiksoligram one time and just walked into the middle of the village and just started shouting. The one devotee said, this is how you do it. You just shout, roti, roti, roti. And suddenly these ladies appeared with rotis and sabji. Yes, very nice. Because when you say roti there, it means roti and sabji. This is what it means. Yeah. So this is madhukari. Going around like a bee, looking for honey, looking for nice things. And the householders, at least those who, like Vedic householders who understand the culture, then they will immediately give. And even sometimes you get animals who do that. In Vrindavan, near our temple, there are a few cows and bulls. And they come around, and at a certain time, the householder in the house hears a mooing sound and opens the door, and there is the cow. And every day, this happens. And so then they give the cow some roti, some chapati, and the cow goes. So such is life. According to the Vedic culture, this is madhukari. So the bee is so much into this, going from flower to flower, taking the nectar, the pollen and the nectar and whatever substances are there inside as they're available. So he's called madhukari or madhukara, madhukaram. One who is always going around looking for sweet things. So Srimati Radharani, she suddenly lost interest in Uddhava. Even though all the other gopis were crowding around and so interested. What will Krishna say? Will he tell us we must come to Mathura to join him? Will he say that he is coming back to join us? They were hoping. So their interest was really very much captured by Uddhava. Except for one particular gopi. And she became distracted and started following this bee and really taking an interest in this bee and just even left, walked away from Uddhava. There's famous painting in our books, I'm sure you've all seen it. Uddhava is sitting at the back, under a tree, with some gopis gathered around him. And Radharani is in the foreground, and the bee is there. Famous painting in our books. So she started taking an interest in the bee. For what reason? Nobody could understand. Uddhava also could not understand. But as described here, she thought this is a messenger from Krishna. For all intents and purposes, it was a regular bee doing his regular bee activities. But in her prema, vivarta, madness of love for Krishna, then she just assumed, oh, this must be a messenger from Krishna. And so she started following the bee and then talking to the bee, and Uddhava heard that. And when Uddhava heard that, he could understand that this particular gopi is on the most exalted platform of pure love for the Lord. And this was very educational for him. So here, our commentators, they refer to Jiva Goswami, his comments on this verse, in which he quotes Agni Purana, particularly. There's some interesting things in Agni Purana. And there in Agni Purana, this pastime is also described, but in more, you could say, explicit terms, in that Srimati Radharani is specifically mentioned. And we read the Sanskrit here, and she is very clearly mentioned. Tatraikam radikam vina radhatadbhava. So, radhatadbhava samlina. So Srimati Radharani is named there twice. And it is describing exactly this particular pastime. So why, the question could arise, why in this other Purana, Agni Purana, which is not as important as Srimad Bhagavatam and is not as Krishna conscious as Srimad Bhagavatam, Srimad Bhagavatam is unique, completely unique in its exalted Krishna consciousness. Other Puranas and other Shastras, not so much. Some of them even, they are in, or they have some influences at least of the mode of passion. Some of them have influences of the mode of ignorance. And Agni Purana, if I remember correctly, Agni Purana is in passion. Do you know which? No, it's not one of the ones in goodness. I think it's in mode of passion. So why in such Purana would we get more clear information than in Srimad Bhagavatam, which is particularly meant to point out Krishna and all to do with him and the whole process of Krishna consciousness? Why in Srimad Bhagavatam should things be less clear than in some other Purana, which is all very good, but still is in a lower position, clearly in a lower position than Srimad Bhagavatam? Well, the answer is, at least part of the one aspect of the answer is that the other Puranas, like Agni Purana, they're spoken by Suta Goswami, and he's also a very great personality and also a very great devotee. He has spoken all the Puranas except for Srimad Bhagavatam. Well, even ultimately he has spoken that, but in speaking Srimad Bhagavatam, he has simply presented what Shukadev said. And Shukadev was more advanced. Shukadev was more advanced. And his realizations were higher and deeper. Higher and deeper at the same time. Yes. very interesting situation. And Shukadev was feeling, as we've mentioned before, Shukadev was feeling that Maharaj Parikshit is going to leave this world. He's going to pass away in 7 days. I only have 7 days to recite this whole Srimad Bhagavatam beginning to end. This is my sacred duty, special duty. I must do it. So, but then he was thinking that if I mention Radharani by name or go into too much detail about her and her pastimes and her associates and so on, then I may become too overwhelmed and stunned, and then somehow or other, because I'm stunned and I go into another type of consciousness, not externally aware, then I may not be able to finish Srimad Bhagavatam, and this will not be good for Maharaj Parikshit. I have a duty to finish it for him. So therefore, he didn't mention Radharani by name, and even didn't go into so much detail about the pastimes involving Srimati Radharani and the gopis. But, on the other hand, we should not think that, of course, we need these things explained to us, how this is actually Radharani here. Otherwise, we will just read Kachin, a particular gopi, and we'll think, oh yes, some gopi, okay, what's next? And we will not realize that, this is Srimati Radharani. So our acharyas have given that elaboration. But Shukadev, he knew that Maharaj Parikshit, he is very advanced devotee, extremely advanced. He is the relative and personal associate of Krishna. So he doesn't need me to spell things out as if he is ignorant and he needs someone to constantly clarify things. But he'll understand. He'll understand and he'll relish all these narrations. So like this. Shukadev Goswami was more advanced. Maharaj Parikshit, he was Krishna conscious enough to understand everything very easily and very clearly. In fact, it's mentioned, Srila Prabhupada mentions in the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam in the earlier parts, that it was simply due to force of circumstances that Shukadev Goswami took the position of speaker or teacher, and Maharaj Parikshit took the position of hearer or student, only due to force of circumstances. If Shukadev Goswami had been cursed to die in 7 days, and Maharaj Parikshit had appeared on the scene, he was perfectly qualified to explain everything. It was not that Shukadev was obviously more advanced, Maharaj Parikshit was obviously less advanced, and therefore it was appropriate in those terms. But Prabhupada explains, they were equally advanced. They were equally advanced. And it was just because of the circumstances Shukadev Goswami took it as his duty on the request of Maharaj Parikshit, who wanted to hear. So it was like that. And Shukadev Goswami is so advanced that it's described in the first canto when he first appeared on the scene there, on the banks of the Ganges, where Maharaj Parikshit was sitting, waiting for the snake bird to come in 7 days. And there are so many sages and great personalities gathered. And then Shukadev Goswami arrived when they had all gathered, basically. So he came in, and there was his own spiritual master, Srila Vyasadeva, and father, but particularly your spiritual master. Srila Vyasadeva was there. And not only that, Vyasadeva was there, and he offered obeisances when Shukadeva appeared on the scene. Because with his transcendental vision, he could understand, here's a person who's on a more advanced level than me. So I must take the position of student, even though in certain formal terms, I am his spiritual master. I am the one who educated him and taught him Srimad Bhagavatam. But now he's become more advanced. So Vyasadeva offered his humble obeisances and sat at the feet of Shukadeva Goswami, because Shukadeva was more advanced. And then on top of that, what to speak of Vyasadeva? But Narada Muni was also present, and many others who are most exalted. But Narada Muni, he was the spiritual master of Vyasadeva. So he is very, very advanced. And of course we all know of Narada Muni to some degree. He appears repeatedly in Srimad Bhagavatam delivering the most profound instructions, which are recorded as the examples, the prime examples of the most important instructions in different areas, repeatedly in the most profound literature, Srimad Bhagavatam, he and situations in which he has instructed on different subjects are repeatedly presented in Srimad Bhagavatam as the prime presentations on those particular points. But he, when Shukadeva came in, he offered his obeisances and sat at the lotus feet of Shukadeva Goswami, and he simply listened. He never chipped in that, what you're saying is very nice, but I also have some other points, something like that. He just sat and listened. And even he sat and listened to these numerous descriptions of how he had instructed people. But he didn't say anything. He just listened. He didn't say that, hang on a minute, I didn't say that. Or he didn't say that, this is what happened. No, he just listened. So Shukadeva's very advanced, extremely advanced personality. We can just imagine, we cannot imagine actually, Srila Prabhupada coming in here now, and Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, and doing something like that. It's just completely off the scale altogether. But this is what happened. This is actually what happened. And in Tattva Sandarbha, where Jiva Goswami is analyzing the importance of Srimad Bhagavatam as presented by Shukadeva Goswami, he specifically makes this point that Vyasadeva and Narada were both present, but they both offered their humble obeisances and accepted the positions of being the ones who are being instructed, even though they were very senior in other senses to Shukadeva Goswami. So like this, Srimad Bhagavatam, it is not that we should now go to the Agni Purana because it has got the nectar, where Srimati Radharani is described and all these things are described in detail, and so there's more nectar there. But actually the Srimad Bhagavatam is more nectar. But you need to tune in a little to really maximize the nectar. And so therefore we have these commentaries and explanations which can help us to go into what is not just subtleties in the meaning, in the meanings, but actually we can get the intended meanings better, so we can really go into it better in a more in more suitable ways into these subject matters. Otherwise, you know, for example, in modern day perfumes, this is sort of applicable to some degree, generally they are 90% alcohol only, it can be classified as a perfume. If it is 95% alcohol, it cannot be classified as a perfume. It has to be called like an eau de cologne or whatever, you know, something like that. Yeah. But it's the difference between 90% of, you know, just some other thing altogether, alcohol, which is, you know, sort of very low class, and 95%. Of the low class thing, and either 5 or 10% of the actual fragrance. And many years ago in Cateridge, we used to make our own incense. Actually, we used to import it from Hong Kong and dip it in perfumes. We were doing this, and. The people from the perfume company would come every now and then, because we would buy it in, you know, in bottles, liters of it. And they would talk about different things in this field, and they made the point that the commercial popular perfumes, that they have to cut it either with 90 or 95% of this alcohol, because otherwise if you just get the perfume, it's too concentrated and you cannot get the subtleties of fragrance. In fact, it may even smell unpleasant because it's too much for the nose to really absorb and differentiate between the different sort of what they call the different notes of the fragrances. It'll just sound, just smell like, just like something strong. Yeah. So like this. This is all very concentrated. It is not cut with any alcohol or any Grania Qatar. It is just the absolute pure essence of transcendentalness. And each verse is like not just a drop from an ocean, but each verse is like an ocean. And to really get the intricacies and subtleties of each verse, then if you're not realized like Shukadeva Goswami and Maharaj Parikshit, then you need the explanations of the devotees who do understand these things. Then you can tune in to the transcendental reality properly. So, like this, we're being helped. Otherwise, you know, even like when we had the Krishna book, in which Prabhupada presented quickly and quite an abbreviated way, because he was afraid he was going to leave this world before he could present the 10th canto. So there, it just says a certain gopi. And for many years, we were all just thinking, yes, certain gopi. Only after many years we became exposed to more of these things and we understood, oh, actually it's Srimati Radharani. How interesting. Yes, so, like this, this verse is presenting this. And that those verses from Agni Purana, they conclude, Ijyante Vasinam Veda Charamangsha Vibhavanai, that Her words were full of pure transcendental knowledge and expressed the ultimate portion of the Vedas. We should not think that the gopis are simple village girls, although on a certain level they are. And they conduct themselves many times, most of the time, as if they are. But when those same gopi girls appeared with Lord Chaitanya, as the six Goswamis and other intimate associates of Lord Chaitanya, particularly the six Goswamis, Ramananda Roy, then whenever they would speak, oh, they knew it a lot. Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, Jiva Goswami particularly. The knowledge they have is vast, unlimited. But actually they are the same little gopis running around picking up cow dung every day and sneaking out to meet Krishna at night. Yeah. But they are oceans of transcendental knowledge and realization. And ultimately Srimati Radharani is the greatest ocean of knowledge and realization about Krishna. To know Krishna is to love Krishna. And thus Radharani, by her own example and words, revealed her supreme love for the Lord. So the more we actually cultivate knowledge in fact about Krishna, in a real sense, the more we'll become attracted and attached to Krishna and inspired to serve him, and in this way gradually come to the platform of love for Krishna. Any comments or questions? Yes.
How can we improve our listening skills?
Listening skills.
Maharaj Parikshit, being heard with rapt attention.
Right. Well, you have to be interested.
Isn't something which comes with that purification? Obviously,
yeah.
It does. But is there like anything you could do to improve your listening skills?
Well, in the second chapter of the first canto, it's stated there that Shushishro Shodadanasya Vasudeva Kata Ruchi Siyan Mahat Sevaya Vidra Punya Tirthanishevana, that by serving those devotees, great devotees, who are free from all vice, great service is done. By such service, one gains an affinity for hearing the messages of Vasudeva. When Krishna sees that you're interested in serving his devotees, and particularly amongst the devotees, the spiritual master is the most important. So particularly serving the spiritual master. Then when Krishna sees that, then Krishna becomes inspired to really reciprocate. And how does he do that? Doesn't give money, or cure your illness more quickly, or things like that. He gives attachment to hearing his messages. Yeah. And then the next verse says, what is it? Nashta Prayeshwar Bhaji says that in the next verse? No, it's after. Anyway, then there's a sequence of verses in which it's pointed out that by regular attendance in Srimad Bhagavatam and service to the person Bhagavat, then all the things in the heart are cleansed out. So it's the same thing. Serving the Bhagavat, that's already included from that the other verse we referred to. And regularly hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, that's also referred to, that you get an affinity if you serve the person Bhagavat. So then what happens is, the following verses say, is that the heart becomes completely cleansed and one becomes fixed in Krishna consciousness and gradually comes to the perfectional stage. So it's not exactly just a matter of mechanically forcing the mind, that when the mind, we're trying to chant or read or listen to the Bhagavatam class or something, but the mind is thinking, oh, what's for breakfast, or when will he stop, or something like that. But then we tell the mind, no, don't think like that. And we try again to focus the mind. Of course, we must try to focus the mind. But it is not just a matter of that alone. That if you force your mind hard enough, gradually you'll become able to focus on these things without being distracted. It's not just a mechanical process like that. Is that okay?
Yeah, someone called me last night and they were saying it was like they were like struggling to at a boat with the three speakers. And they were saying it was like, why do you have so many speakers here? We had to sit through the whole thing. But then I could see it was the absence of the pace.
Right.
It's like a steer that you sit and listen to a lot.
Yeah.
So I had a smile and I'm
so they should serve. And here, and gradually the attachment will develop.
So then the tendency is that you delve into the lesser topics of the Bhagavatam without like, prematurely.
Yeah, that's true, sometimes, for some.
You
shouldn't do that. We should read all of Prabhupada's books first. Yeah. Even read them all three times. And then we can maybe go into these things in more detail. Yeah.
In relation to Jai's point, where it's saying on the latter verses in this chapter, you're dealing with the Chitta, Japa, and the 10 types of speech.
Right.
So the subject matter is like now we like right to the center. So the speaker should he like stick to the purpose or try to use the analogy to do the presentation? So he's looking at the audience and saying, okay, this is the audience. So basically, even though he is speaking something very exalted, to come down to something very practical level.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
So what do you think? Should we not stick to the purpose or do you?
Well, we should stick to the purport and try and make these things relevant to the audience. We certainly shouldn't speak above the heads of the audience, and you know, may well be above our heads at the same time. Yeah. This is meant to be an educational program, Srimad Bhagavatam class. Yeah, it's not just like kata, it's education, it's a class. Prabhupada used the term class. So, you know,
there's so many Vedic books around that sometimes it's not because bona fide, and sometimes devotees are getting into this.
Yeah, that's true. In English, there's not so many. You should see in Russian, English. Huge number. Incredible number. It's amazing. Srila Prabhupada ki.